My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we've had what, like just over a month off or something, like right around a month off?
And yeah, we took a month off, yeah.
Yeah, and now we're starting to get back into the grind. We got Chiefs training camp going on. They're for a full team, they've been in practice for just over a week. But if you count when the quarterbacks and rookies reported, they've been in camp for almost 2 weeks now. So we've gotten some full practices out the way, and I think we have a lot of answers, at least right now, a lot of early answers to what the Chiefs are going to do with some of these young players.
Most importantly, it's a couple of days of padded practice. You get the three padded practices.
Well, now we're at day four of the padded practice.
Day four today. Well, today they just wore the shells.
Just the shells today. So they've done
very light workout. They're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, whenever if you hear this, but it's on Tuesday the 30th, they're going to be off, and then they'll get cranked back. But the first preseason game is the 10th of August. We're right there, man. I mean, we're like right there.
We are really close. This Thursday is going to be the Hall of Fame game.
Gosh,
and
can you believe that? Wow.
Yeah, I know. And obviously, that means Hall of Fame ceremony will be this Saturday. And yeah, we are going to very quickly start ramping things up. And it's just over a month until football starts.
Draft season number 3 for us here.
Yes. Yes.
And by the way, Kelvin Joseph, that's with the Chiefs. They brought him in from Dallas, the former second round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading some stuff on him earlier. He was dropped because of character concerns. I just thought it was kind of funny, the word character concerns. Yeah.
Well, we will talk more about him a little bit later, but let's just start with recapping how some of these young players in camp have been performing. I think this has been really, really interesting just because there's some guy. I mean, seriously, as far as the young players go, like, Chiefs got some dogs on this team. And I think the big thing that's been going on, the big development that everyone's watching out for is that left tackle role. And right now, it's obviously a battle between Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamataia. And initially, and we talked about this a lot throughout the offseason, Wanya's ahead, but the Chiefs are going to give Suamataia every chance that he can get to try and win that position. Well, right now, I think you could say there's a good chance that Suamataia is the leader in the clubhouse, because when they started padded practices on Friday, Suamataia was getting a majority of the first team reps, and he has been getting the majority of first team reps throughout the weekend.
They've been moving guys around. It was Wanya right there when they didn't have the pads.
Before pads, he was the number one left.
But it was a quick rotation. It was
very
a quick rotation.
Right.
I brought that up not too long ago with Nate, I believe, that was on with us one day there, Nate Taylor, and we talked about that. What's going to be the rotation like? But then Kingsley, as soon as the pads came on, it's his job now. You've heard mixed results. You've heard Wanya, been stepping in there and may look, maybe a tad better at times than some pass pro. because the defensive ends and edge rush is really working these guys over quite a bit.
So yeah, they've been looking really good in camp.
But it's having a training camp, and it's what I thought. I thought that all along they wanted Kingsley to win this job. And when they put Kingsley left tackle the other day, then it was right tackle. They had Wanye Morris over there as the backup for Juwan Taylor. Now, the one thing to watch was, were they going to make that phone call? Were you going to make that phone call for a veteran tackle? Were you going to bring somebody else in like they did last year? And they haven't done that.
Donovan Smith, David Bakhtiari was a name that was floated around.
They haven't done it. I think they're really happy with what they have. You know, obviously, it's going to take Kingsley some time. We thought it would. It's going to take him some time to get acclimated to the NFL. It's not the Big 12 anymore. It's the National Football League. You're going to be facing the best of the best when it comes to edge rushers, especially in this division. You got some dogs in this division going after Patrick Mahomes. But Kingsley's the guy that I do believe they want to win that job. But in the one-on-ones, you know, he's had his struggles at moments in there, and he's looked good in other moments. He's a mountain of a man. They just, you know, taking their time with him, but you're going to have the freshman issues, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, his issues from the sound of it are technical. Just experience, playing at this level, not having played a ton of great edge rushers because he only had 1 year playing Power 5 football. And, yeah, I mean, you watch him out there, and there's issues with his feet, issues with leverage, but you can definitely see the athleticism pop on tape. And I think that's the thing that the Chiefs really, really want to get out of him is like, hey, we want you to build the technique, use that great athleticism, because, you know, he has something. Like I said, I've compared it to like Trent Williams' level of athleticism, which is not very common in football at that position. He's got something like that. He's got to work on the technique, but the Chiefs seem pretty confident that he can pick that up.
The good news is that both Wanye and Kingsley have played right tackle and left tackle.
Yes.
You know, Kingsley got a full year of that at BYU, then he switched to left tackle. And Wanye's been the same way when he did play with Trey Smith back at Tennessee. You know, he's been on the left side, been on the right side. But that seems to be the common thing. We'll get into some of these guards coming up here in a little bit. Andy Reid loves moving people around, and that's shown proof positive with this offense.
Yeah.
Except for Kingsley.
Right.
They're
actually, with the second team, he has played right tackle. A little bit on the second team, he has played some right tackle.
Just to make sure. But mostly, if Wanye wins the job, then Juwan Taylor gets hurt, then you slide him over there. I think they want them both to be ready for right tackle if that's the position they
have. I think so, too. I think they're very much dead set on, hey, we could move either you over to the other side. I talked about this, what was it, like 2-3 months ago. I was like, Juwan Taylor's job isn't safe after this year. They could make him a post-June 1, and they could save a decent amount of money. If they really want to do that, they could absolutely do that. But some other names that have really been popping off, Chuu Godrick, the other player besides Louis Riezamit, the other player that they got from the international player pathway, he has been getting a lot of looks at right tackle, and he actually has started to show you some of the technique that matches the athleticism that they saw.
This is a guy that can actually make this roster.
Yeah.
This is a guy to definitely make this roster. And when you're thinking about dependable guy, because Andy Reid doesn't care where you came from, where you were drafted, can you get the job done for Patrick Mahomes? Can you help this team go for three-peat? And Chu has been one of those guys that's steadily gotten better.
Yeah, he has improved a lot. His technique isn't quite where it needs to be, but the fact that it's improved as much as it has, considering he's only in his second year playing, really, really big attest to the kind of work that he's been doing to try and improve. And, yeah, I mean, I think just from what we've seen, we're obviously going to see more when we get into the preseason and he gets some actual snaps under his belt. But don't be shocked if he ends up being one of those last guys on the offensive line to make the roster. A guy that we haven't talked about very much in the last couple of years, Lucas Niang, has been getting a little run as well. Got some reps both at left guard in place of Joe Tooney, who's been hurt. He hasn't been the top option for them at left guard, but he has gotten some looks in addition to right tackle, the position that he has played for his entire
career.
And
he's been around here for a while. I mean, we're talking about a guy that, you know, did drop in the draft, set out that COVID year.
Yeah.
And he had an injury anyway. He would have been out that whole year as it was anyway. But Lucas Niang, a guy with a ton of promise. I mean, initially he was looked at being a first-round draft pick type of guy, but a guy that's been around the system, been around
At one point, he was the starting right tackle.
But he's been projected, and they like what they have in Lucas Niang. He just keeps getting better because he knows what's expected of him.
Yeah. The guy that has been the top option at left guard behind Joe Tooney has been Mike Caliendo. Caliendo getting number one reps on the team at that left guard spot in place of Joe Tooney. Tooney just got cleared to go out and practice in training camp. I think it was today.
Well, yeah, today he walked down the hill.
So he practiced today, but you have seen Mike Caliendo impressed with what he's done thus far at that left guard spot.
I think they kind of look at him at Nick Allegretti role.
Yeah.
And also Hunter Norzad, too, the rookie.
Who has also gotten reps at left guard as well.
He did, and center.
He was at center the first couple games.
They moved over to left guard as well. That's perfect. It's what Andy Reid wants. Because remember, Nick Allegretti could play center as well.
He was a center. That's what he was.
And then he was a guard. So, yeah. Again, Hunter Norzad, Caliendo, these guys you can move all the way around. They're doing it. Lucas Niang as well. Andy Reid is all about versatility. But now you kind of wonder, even Brett Veach said right after the draft, one of the reasons they drafted Hunter Norzad was because of the versatility.
Yeah.
Because of the center reps. I mean, who knows what happens down the line with Creed Humphrey, whether they sign a contract or not. But, hey, can a guy like Hunter Norzad be that center for the future? Well, they seem to think so.
I think what that all depends on which position is more replaceable. Is Norzad a better replacement for Humphrey than he is a better replacement for Smith or vice versa?
I think
we can definitely count Tooney gone. The question is who's going to stay between Creed and Trey. And I think for sure, like, they're looking at their options to see if maybe they don't have to draft a guard next year. Maybe they have that guy on their roster. So that's what I think is really interesting about what we're seeing there with them trying out so many different people at
guard. It's good to see Tooney back, though. Here's a guy that, you know, was hurt in that Buffalo Bills game, didn't play in the AFC title game. There was thoughts he could come back for the Super Bowl. Never did.
Nope.
At least he got back there. Now you're talking about a first-team All-Pro.
Nick Allegretti playing out there with a torn UCL, and, you know, he played really well in those games. But, yeah, moving on to running back here. Interesting developments there. I think the most notable one is with Kadarius Toney, who is a wide receiver but has been getting a lot of reps at running back for them. Still getting reps at wide receiver. Still getting a lot of reps at wide receiver. But he has been getting a lot of reps at running back as well as a kind of a third option.
He even threw one today. It was like a quadruple pass trick play they ran from Mahomes to Kadarius, back to Mahomes, back to Kadarius, down to Xavier Worthy. But Kadarius Toney, this is what we thought he could be. I mean, this is why the Chiefs picked him up. And the good news is, knocking on wood, you stay healthy and you continue to play because you're always worried about that with Kadarius Toney.
He gets hurt a lot.
But he's got talent. I remember sitting on the postgame show going, man, I mean, this guy would leave your jockstrap on the floor. Like, pure talent-wise, he has as much talent as anybody on this football team on offense. If you can keep it together. If he can keep it together. And obviously the hands, that matters. And whether the hands improved or not, again, I do feel like he cost the Chiefs two games last year. And the Chiefs would have had that home field advantage in the AFC title game because they would have had more AFC wins than the Baltimore Ravens. It didn't work out that way. But there's a reason. I mean, Kadarius Toney almost wrote his check out of town, you know, when he's arguing with another fan base and talking about whether he's really injured or not.
And when, you know, in the lead up to the Super Bowl, talking about him not getting used.
And whether you're really hurt
or not. They throw me the ball, I'll be a number one. Like, when he said that at Super Bowl media day, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be on this team for very much longer.
Well, at some point, guys hit the maturity wall. It's like, hey, you won two rings here. Life is pretty good for you right now. You got Patrick Mahomes, your quarterback. Not only that, the Chiefs are not giving up on him. That shows you how much talent he has, the fact that they have not shut the door. Because typically, Chiefs walk away from guys like that. They just walk completely. They don't care. They're a professional organization. They move. But Kadarius Toney, obviously, his total usage of running back, to me, it's more the jet sweep type things. They're getting the sweeps out of the backfield. But now, taking the hits, peer down, you don't want to see that with Kadarius Toney, in my opinion, taking the wear and tear of what a running back takes.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be a feature back. He's definitely not going to be a guy that goes out there and you know, carries your all.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
A America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Offense or anything, but yeah, if they want to give him like a couple of touches there, 2-3 touches there, you know, in more spread out formations as like a third down guy, I don't care. I just, my thing is this: don't put him in a situation where he has to make a great play as a catching the ball. Like, make it as easy as possible. He's electric when he has the ball in his hands. The problem is he's not reliable at getting the ball in his hands, and that's the reason why he's in the role that he's in. And you know, we saw that athleticism on display his first game with the Chiefs, that game in November of 22 against the Jaguars. I was at that game. He was amazing in that game. He looked you saw it, and we were all excited about it. But he never quite lived up to it after that game. And last year, like, he never really had one of those games where he looked like he was really that great. You could see the talent, He didn't put it all together.
It's frustrating. So. We've seen that with, you know, the Mondesis, the world, the Royals. You see the talent, but put it all together.
Can't put it together.
Yeah, he is 25. You know, there's the writing. You know, sometimes he is 6 foot. He's about 195, 196 pounds, something like that. I mean, can you get him over 200 and give him more roles? I just don't want to see the wear and tear on him at running back.
Yeah, I just be he's,
a lot. I mean,
he's really brittle, and because of that, like, he's not going to last if he gets.
I just don't want to see him getting hit all the time.
If he takes those kind of hits that running backs take, he ain't going to last very long.
Yeah.
And one guy though that has really emerged. We talked about him a lot last year in training camp. He looked like he was in a great position to make the roster, and then kind of just fell off in the middle of camp. That being Denarik Prince. Denarik Prince right now. You could almost make the argument he's the number two running back on the Chiefs roster right now.
And that was the thing. Which direction they can go? Imani Bailey, they bring him in from TCU. Carson Steele from UCLA, who was going to be that guy to emerge. And
a lot of people were excited about Steele because of his size.
Yeah, but Denarik Prince, here's a guy. He was listed as the number one kick returner last year, if you remember, during camp, and he kind of cost himself the job. But he did hang around here. You're talking about a guy in the practice squad. He's here. He got the ring with the Chiefs. He's been here. He's acclimated. But Denarik Prince is a guy. Remember, his hands were much better than thought, because they didn't throw him the ball a ton at Tulsa.
Right.
But when he got here last
year.
Caught
everything.
But now, I mean, hey, where are they going? They didn't draft a running back this year. It was relying on undrafted guys. And part of the reason to me is Brett Veach and them realized the value of Denarik Prince. And I think that, yeah, you can throw some other guys in the practice squad like Bailey and Carson Steele and guys like that. But having Prince here for the second year. He's battling with Clyde, because they bring Clyde back, but I don't think Clyde really cares. I mean, he's happy just to be here, and Clyde's got a great attitude about everything, so we'll see what happens.
Another running back, though, we've seen some ups and downs with him. Lewis Rezamit, the other international pathway player that the Chiefs have on their roster. Welsh rugby star. One of the young stars in the game came.
Most
over
polite
here.
Guy on interviews, by the way.
Oh yeah, super polite. He's got that accent that people like. It's very apparent that he's got some maturing to do as far as learning the game and just the basic like body positioning, the right way to run. He runs a little too upright sometimes, and like you watch like videos of him doing like pass protection. He's still got to learn that part of it. He got. put on his ass a couple times this weekend doing pass protection drills. But you can definitely see the athleticism on display. I think if he makes the roster, obviously he's going to be a special teamer if he does that. But I think the Chiefs are going to try to find any way they can to have him on the roster if they possibly can, just because he could get signed by another team.
Well, keeping on kickoffs and stuff, they're going back to Butker. And they realize that, hey, the experiment of, you know, having Justin Reed, who hasn't been a practice lately, but again, yeah. LRZ was going to be another guy. But I had argued back and forth with some of the other guys on the station. They bring up LRZ. And even the text line is like, you know, aren't you excited about this? Because usually I get excited about certain guys. I'm like, all right, let's wait and see on this. Because you are talking about somebody that hasn't played professional football.
And football's not easy to pick up.
And man, I'll be honest with you. I mean, he's not gotten a ton of opportunities. They haven't brought him down to the ground in certain respects. They just kind of pushed him when he got the line and he ran it deep. But you're thinking, all right, this guy's going to be tackled anyway. Pass protection, he's really struggled.
Really struggled.
He's getting thrown around like a rag doll a couple of different reps in the pass protection. That is going to be huge. Can you block? I mean, that is one of the things that Chiefs – Clyde, I think, got exponentially so much better last year.
He did.
At pass protection.
That's why
with
they
the
kept
Chiefs.
Him.
It's why they kept him and brought him in here. But will they do it? Will they continue it? He got to be able to pass protect and catch the football. Catching the football, not worried about with LRZ. He seems to be having the good hands, obviously. He does with rugby. But the experience, can he get down there? Okay. Can he get down there and make the big hits? Possibly so. I mean, he's got the physicality about him. But you got a lot to learn about the running back position. Again, I know he's talented. People look at his 40 times and all this. That's fine. Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 80 yards on his knees through the goalpost. But the bottom line is, these guys are the most elite at what they do. I mean, there's a reason why they're professional football players. Again, he's got the physicality, but it is a different sport. I'm not knocking him because he played rugby. It's just a different brand of sport than playing the game of football. And to pick it up in 1 year and all of a sudden be a professional with a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls, it's going to be tough. And definitely the pass protection, something you got to get used to because these guys are good. And these guys know what they're doing.
There's a lot of nuances to the running back position.
McKinnon was great at blocking, too, by the way.
He was excellent at pass pro. That's the reason why I've been saying for the last couple years now, or last year, that Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley owe him some money.
That's
because
right.
He saved their ass in 22 a lot of times.
Yes, he did.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intricacies to playing running back at the NFL level. And it's very clear that he's still a ways away from doing that. I could very well see him making the roster as a special teamer because that is more in line with what he did. But, like, don't expect him to go out there and be, like, a really good player on the offensive side this year. Just because that's – football's hard, man. It's not easy to pick up. There's very much a mental side besides just the physical aspect. The difference between the guys at the NFL level and the guys who don't make it very well, past college – is in part athleticism, but also in part picking up the intricacies of playing.
And how many running backs are you going to keep? Are you going to keep Denarius Prince? And how many wide receivers are you going to keep? Are you going to keep six or seven? Andy Reid's sisters only kept six. Last year he kept seven for the first time in Kansas City. But if Denarius Prince gets his snaps, obviously the number two running back, and Pacheco's going to get his and probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
Clyde.
After that you're going to have Clyde.
I don't know if there's any room for any other running backs.
But LRZ will be on the roster, at least on the practice squad, because they can get the extra international player on there.
Yeah. So I think.
But if he gets picked up, he's got to go to an active roster. Right. If he really go to an active roster, I don't think so.
That's why I think most likely practice squad, but don't be shocked if like he performs well enough as a special team, but they decide to keep him on there just to stash him for a year. Moving on to wide receivers, guy that we've really, really been excited about to see him in camp is Xavier Worthy. Yeah. He's the real deal. He's the real deal.
He had Cygnus. It was strep throat in the beginning. So it wasn't like
he had his hamstring injury before that.
That was that. They were
hurt him in like rookie camp and whatnot.
But it's kind of like we thought with him. They're just taking it easy with him. We'll just get to camp and then go. And remember, it's no training wheels with him because even Mahomes said, hey, man, it's go time with this guy. We're expecting big things. And kind of the way Mahomes was talking about and Reed wasn't like, well, he's a rookie. No, he was the only receiver they took. Yes, they brought in Hollywood Brown in the offseason, but he was it, man. That was the big addition through the draft because it was the only receiver, and they passed on other receivers because, by the way, A.D. Mitchell looks freaking great with Indy. One of the guys they passed on because they wanted his teammate Xavier Worthy. But getting down the field, he's showing that explosiveness. Not only that, the ball tracking. what he does with the hands.
Elite ball tracking.
The fact that he plays tougher. He never missed the game when he was at Texas, but he has shown why the Chiefs used that number one pick on him. It's why we liked him and mocked him back in the beginning. We know he's small, but the size, don't be, you know, blown away just by the speed. This guy's going to run routes. And then he's starting to impress Mahomes and company because how smart he is on the football field and how well he runs routes. But he looks great.
Towards the end, before the draft, we were usually mocking A.D. Mitchell to the Chiefs. The only reason why we weren't mocking Xavier Worthy is because Mitchell's bigger. Like, Mitchell's a little bit
Hollywood
bigger.
It was Hollywood. We did it originally. We had Worthy, but I backed off it, well, at least on mine, because of the Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, we did Worthy, but even then, we were still doing Mitchell towards the end.
Because I think of Hollywood because Brown was a long, big thing. Because
Hollywood was a one-year deal. So we were looking at A.D. Mitchell, but we were – I mean, you remember that last mock.
Oh, yeah.
We had to choose between A.D. and Xavier.
Yeah.
And it was close. It was close, but we chose AD simply just because he was a little bit bigger. Yep. Actually, no, a decent amount bigger. But like,
but early on our first one, we had Worthy.
Yeah, we did have Worthy on our first mock. We did back in the fall. And Worthy, I think, is definitely shown. He's living up to the hype right now. We'll obviously see what happens when he actually gets in and plays in games. But he's a legitimate deep threat, and he's causing problems back there for the secondary. They have to be on their game. They have been on their game to some extent in the secondary, and they have done a good job of being able to cover him at times. But there's times where they get beat, and it's really fun to watch.
And it's a good secondary he's going against. It's a good defense he's
great,
going against, too.
Great defense they're going against.
It's a deep defense he's going against. It's only going to make him better. And also, you know, having Hollywood Brown here is a big help to him, too. You know, a guy that's been a veteran in the league, a former first-round pick.
He doesn't have the pressure to have to be the only deep
threat. He's a former first-round pick as well. You know what I mean? Just having him around here, Rice is second here. All this stuff is big, and having Mahomes at quarterbacks, obviously, because Mahomes really likes his wide receivers.
Other wide receivers, you know, that of varying levels of success. Sky Moore has not had a great camp. I don't think either of us thought he would. He has made a couple of big catches, but really has not really been able to show out against this secondary. And I think right now, when you kind of look at where their roster's at, I'm not sure he makes the team.
Because I got Worthy. That's one. I got Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. I do have Justin Watson. If he's hurt at the beginning of the year, that does open the door for somebody else.
Potential, yeah.
I do have Kadarius Toney still making the team.
I do, too.
So that's five. Then we're getting down to Justin Ross, Nico Remigio, because I think Nico Remigio
he's got a really good chance.
Because of the return job. So
he's playing really well.
If Nico makes it, that's six. Then all of a sudden you keep seven because Justin Watson's hurt. And then it becomes down between Justin Ross and it comes down to me, Sky Moore. Just a game of attrition. Justin Ross actually made some nice catches up in training camp as well.
He's been a very good red zone option for them. One of their, like, basically, if they're going to go red, if they're going to run a red zone package, him and Jared Wiley have been getting in there and getting a lot of reps in the red zone there. I would not be shocked if Justin Ross made this roster over Sky Moore, which it sucks because both of us liked him coming out of Western Michigan.
We did. I like Sky Moore a lot.
Yeah, and it hasn't really worked out for him, so. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a spot on the roster for him. Maybe he does just because he's got one more year on his deal, but two more years on his deal.
And how many running backs you got to watch today? You got to keep in mind Irv Smith's had a
tight end.
Irv Smith's four tight end, but he's had a very good camp. Yeah, I mean, a very good camp.
Very good red zone option.
And Andy Reid will keep four tight ends if he has to. So who's going to get the extra man? Running backs, the tight end's going to get it, the wide receiver's going to get it. Who's going to be that extra guy? And it's going to be tough because I know we look at Sky Moore, but to me he's battling Irv Smith too because you're even though he's a tight end because you're battling for that roster spot.
Yeah, because if it comes down to like Sky Moore or Irv Smith, I kind of feel like Andy's probably going to go Irv Smith just because it's a more reliable option than Sky.
He loves tight ends.
A couple other wide receivers that we've seen in camp. Rashee Rice has been great in camp. Picked up right where he left off. He had this great rep from late last week. Where he was able to beat Trent McDuffie one-on-one down the sidelines on a deep fade route. Looked great on there. He's looked really good in camp here. No slowing down. I'm sure that, like, with Hollywood, with Xavier Worthy out there, those guys are going to open things up for him and Kelsey.
He doesn't have really to, quote, be the man. Well, obviously, Kelsey's going to be the man.
Yeah, he's
going to
be the man, but now, like,
Hollywood Brown.
Now he doesn't have to be the number two.
He's still got that suspension. Who knows? I mean, it's kind of looking like it may not happen this year.
We haven't heard anything.
So
we'll see. So, And then Justin Watson, obviously, his injury goes. But I mean, to be honest, like,
it's his foot injury. He's not too worried about it.
I think Justin's gonna be on the team.
I do too.
Unless the foot injury is worse than what it is, I think he's gonna be on the roster. Moving over to tight end, one really notable name, obviously, is Jared Wiley, who really showed out at mandatory minicamp. Got a lot of first team reps there. He's still getting a lot of first team reps. Mainly red zone guy for now, so kind of like playing that Jody Fortson role. But I think, you know, with his progress, don't be shocked. Like him, Noah Gray, Travis Kelce, they run a lot of 13 personnel with those guys.
It's not a one-trick pony, too, because he did lead the nation in red zone touchdowns last year as a tight end, and he led all tight ends in touchdowns. The guy, we even had his coach on, Sonny Dykes, that joined us on our Character right. Concerns coverage of the draft, and he was talking about how smart and cerebral he is down low. But Wiley gives you the other dimension, too, because he can block. He can block a lot better than Jody Fortson, so yes. You throw him in there. But keep in mind, it's the big reason why Travis Kelce is a man in the Super Bowl. Remember when he's yelling at Andy Reid? Because they pulled him out and they put Blake Bell in there.
So they could block. But like now, if you with a guy like Jared Wiley who can block, now it makes it easier for you to keep Travis on the field.
He's got tremendous hands.
He can just play the other wide receiver role. So.
He's got tremendous hands. Yeah. So I think Jared Wiley, which by the way, if you want to hear from Jared Wiley, he was on with Cody Gold. If you're listening, it was on Monday. That they talked to Jared Wiley in their camp interviews, if you want to go back and
like
that.
I said, I think Jared Wiley is going to get a lot more usage than I think we expected the minute he got drafted. Moving over to D-line, one guy that's been, I mean, maybe the second most impressive player on defense in camp, Felix Onyedike-Uzomah. He's killed it. He hasn't got a ton of first-team reps because they really haven't done a rotation with the defensive line with the first team. But, man, he's showing out. Like, he's looked good against Wanye. He's looked good against Kingsley Suamataia. Like, he looks a lot stronger. He spent much of the offseason, him and Carl Loftus, training with Tom Bahali, the former edge rusher for the Chiefs. But, yeah, he's definitely put in a lot of work, and you can see that, man. He looks really good. I'm really excited to see him
it's
on the field.
It's the quickness with FAU and the way he's using his hands.
His hands
I mean,
have gotten
Wanye
so much
Kingsley
better.
At times didn't even have a chance. I mean, he's already around before they even have a chance. I mean, that's how quick he is. And keep in mind, that's the way he was in high school. And that's the way when he got to Kansas State.
When he was at K-State,
he put the weight on. It took him a time. Then finally ends up Big 12 Player of the Year defensively. So it's a guy that is a project. But, man, is he coming along. Somebody you can trust because he shows you those flashes of everything you want to see. And I think having Carl Loftus there helping him out, too, with rush moves. Because I think Carl Loftus is kind of coming into his own, too. To be honest with you, he had 10.5 sacks last year. All this with Tamba there all helps FAU's development.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited to see him in the preseason. And I think if he really shows out there, I think he's going to solidify himself getting a lot of rotational reps in that on that defensive line, especially early with Omenihue being out with the torn ACL. But, you know, the thing is even when Omenihue comes back, he could still get edge reps there because, you know, they love to move Omenihue to the inside and have him play three tech on pass rushing downs. So, I mean, obviously they could – the leader in the clubhouse would probably be Mike Dana to get those roles, but they might decide, hey
– who, by the way, is looking like a beast.
Yeah, he's killing it. Dana's had a great camp. And so you've got if you're able to kind of do a little rotation there and ease Omenihue back in and maybe save him a little bit more for the late stretch run in the regular season and the playoffs, man, Felix, if he kills it early on in the season, he's someone that could really make you not quite worry so much about the absence of Omenihue. Moving on to DBs. DBs probably has been the most impressive position group in the entirety of camp. They're really deep at that position. They got a lot of guys who can kind of play a little bit hybrid roles. They've been playing a ton of man coverage in camp, and it really has been causing some problems for the Chiefs offense. If I had to, you know, kind of measure a guess of who has looked better thus far based on what we've seen, the defense has looked better than the offense has in camp. A lot of that, I think, is chemistry and whatnot. But still, like, the defense has been on point in early part of training camp, and the DBs – the D-line's been a big part of that, too, but the DBs have been a major part of this. I think the guy who's probably had the best camp overall has been Brian Cook. Cook has been killing it. One-on-one man coverage, he has done well against everybody. And it's really exciting to see that because he's coming back from that ankle injury that he had against the Packers that ended his season. And, you know, the Chiefs are really deep at safety. And they're going to put the best people out there. So for Brian Cook to be out there and performing as well as he has been thus far, really excites me for what this defense
is. He's the player I thought when they draft. The other draft pick last year was my favorite, kind of under the radar.
Shamari Connor.
He's been in the slot. You know,
he's been great in the slot, too.
But not only that, he's been moving the strong safety. Like, they'll have him go to slot in nickel situations.
Right.
They've had Trey McDuffie on the outside. Right. Trey McDuffie played a lot of slot inside.
He was their go-to slot guy the last couple years.
And Josh Williams, and then Nazi Johnson, even on the outside as well. Let's not forget about him. He came back from the injury, but he's been dealing with the knee problems
knee issues
as well.
Again.
But Trey McDuffie, sometimes, and then Shamari Connor will come inside. So that's sometimes what happens. So they move Shamari, who, again, that versatility goes from safety to slot, making that easy transition, but they've got a bunch of guys, you know, that can do that. But Shamari Connor is interesting because he's kind of that slot role for the Chiefs more than the nickel.
Yeah. He's mainly been their number one slot corner that they run. And then the only time they have moved Trent McDuffie in as a slot every now and then, playing that top, that nickel back. But mainly, when he has moved inside, it's been in dime package when they've put him in there as the second slot.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus had him spending 411 of his snaps in the slot and only 283 on the outside. He did play on the outside.
He played a lot on the outside.
Total unfamiliar territory for him. But the whole Jalen Watson has been banged up. It hasn't been a camp.
Joshua Williams was the guy
I thought was going to step up. But, you know, Kelvin Joseph and all these guys kind of stepping up, you know, and also Kamal Haddon, we haven't really seen a lot from at this point, but with Shamari Connor and his versatility, I really like Josh Williams and his development, especially, you know, coming from a smaller college. Now in year three, it's go time for him. But the corners look great. And by the way, Legarius Sneed, that they moved on from, he's been missing some camp with the Titans. He comes down. I mean, it's a lot. It's much like last year.
We expected he would miss some time because them knees ain't what they used to be.
No.
And they actually haven't been great throughout his career. Nazi Johnson looked good before he started his knee. He tweaked his knee, I think. What was it, Friday, I think, he tweaked his knee. But he looked good before that. So that's a little disappointing. Nazi's a guy that looked really good last year in camp.
I'm not too worried about his knee. Not too worried about it.
I think more so it's
But they just, really like him, though. They love this guy.
They love him. I mean, he's
played safety before.
Long as he stays healthy, he's going to get every opportunity, I think, to play a prominent role in the defense. As you said, Shamari Connor, killing it right now. He's been excellent in that slot role, excellent coming up and covering tight ends, covering running backs. Him and Drew Tranquil. Another guy who's had an excellent camp is Drew Tranquil.
He's been all over the field.
He's been destroying. Just wrecking people. Just hitting everybody.
He's got that attitude they love.
Yeah, like Drew Tranquil, he's a game changer on that defense as well. Jaden Hicks, early in camp, was getting a lot of time kind of moving around in different spots, playing that third safety. He even got some time as the starting strong safety for them in place of Justin Reed, who right now has got a quad injury. He's on the NFI. So, you know, you do have to – like he's looked really good. You definitely see the power with his tackling. You definitely see him as this big playmaker. He's just – they're kind of like trying him in different spots and figuring out what he can do. But everything that we've seen about him, he's a gamer. And he's a guy that I think is going to get a lot of – playing time early in his career.
Again, Dane Brugler's top safety, number 39 on the big board this year. But Jaden Hicks been popping people. He's been hitting people. Not only at Dave Toe, but at this point he says he's a four phaser on special teams. I mean, he's playing all the special teams. They're gonna rely on Jaden Hicks to do a lot of stuff. I think he'll be in the rotation at safety as well. What are you talking about? Who's going to get the most snaps? Why? I think he'll have an impact for the Chiefs. I don't have a snap count as high as I do some of the other rookies because of that rotation and safety. But they're so – now, I looked at some list. Was it NFL.com or CBS, one of the two, had top 20 safeties in the NFL. They did not have any of the Chiefs. They had Tyrann Mathieu still number 4 or 5. Like, kidding, the time's done. There was a time for that, but it's not a time. But the safety group, Brian Cooks can turn some heads.
I'll say this. I would not be shocked if Jaden Hicks got put in place of Nick Bolton as the mic in dime sets.
Not dime and nickels.
In dime sets, I wouldn't be shocked
linebacker in the nickel.
Yeah, so I'm saying I think he's gonna play sub linebacker a lot. Like, I think he's gonna take some time away from Bolton because Drew's been playing, he's been phenomenal thus far. And I think, you go dime. I wouldn't be shocked if Jaden Hicks is out there playing the sub linebacker there and getting reps because he can tackle and he can cover. So, and then you brought up Kelvin Joseph, guy they got from, he was drafted by the Cowboys.
Character concerns.
He's, yeah, he had character concerns. He was a former second round pick by the Cowboys.
I love those guys.
This is a guy that I think he's been on, I think this is his third or fourth team in the league. But he's really
former second round pick, though.
Yeah, he's a second round. He's a talent. He's a, and you know, Brett Veach loves guys like that who got really talented. He's big. He's like, was he 6'1 or something like that?
He's been turning heads, though.
Yeah, he's looked really good, especially because there's been, you know, with Nazi Johnson tweaking his knee, Kelvin Joseph is getting a lot of those opportunities that he was getting. And he's looked really good thus far.
Early on, you see what Brett Veach has done. You see kind of how he went through the draft and gets him. Because, again, 2 years ago, I thought it was a draft for necessity when they won the – that was the Eagles' year they won the Super Bowl. Last year was more of a draft of riches, you know, let players develop a little more. This year, they're back to necessity, man. They're going to count on, you know, Wiley coming in there and doing it. They're definitely going to count on Xavier Worthy. I think they're going to count on Jaden Hicks as well. They're going to definitely count on Kingsley.
Yeah.
So this is more of a draft of necessity now when you step back and look at it from the top view.
And I think it's early. They're not even at preseason game one yet, but you start to see some of the fruit bearing here.
That's right.
on these
picks. You start to understand why they made the pick.
And this draft class is looking nice early. It's early.
Now, where are you going next year, Brett Veach? Where are you going next year? We'll be discussing that plenty down there.
We'll talk about that. Certainly, we're going to start ramping up our previews for different position groups.
Some wide receivers again, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not getting off that bandwagon.
I've been working on my
Hollywood's college. Here for 1 year, folks.
Yeah. I'm already working on my college football watch list.
Let's go.
For 24. A lot of receivers on there. This is a really good receiver class, at least right now. We'll see what happens. But I think this is a really, really good receiver class. You obviously have Luther Burden there. You have Travis Hunter there, who I think is going to be a wide receiver. You got that. What's the kid's name? Oh, is it Tatyra?
Yeah, Arizona.
Yeah, from Arizona.
Big time speed, big time production.
Yeah, like you've got, and he's huge. He's like 6'5". He's massive. You've got a lot of really good wide receivers in this draft class. I think this is another year where late first round, if the Chiefs felt like they needed to go that position, they could go that position.
Defensive tackle, I think,
might be their biggest need. But I think receiver is going to be another one they want to look at.
Well, there's Teddarrell McMillan, like you said. Also, yeah, Emmanuel Igbuka from Ohio State. Yeah, but again, they don't draft Ohio State guys.
So I don't know. I don't know about that. He didn't pop.
And Isaiah Bond from Texas, his player comparison is Xavier Worthy. Yeah. Evan Stewart had a good year at Oregon. He's being compared to Tank Dell.
Yeah.
In the National Football League. So there's going to be a lot of fun with these receivers going forward. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've got so many. I mean, McMillan, Igbuka, Evan Stewart. Trey Harris is.
We thought Igbuka could have been a first rounder last year.
We thought he would, but yeah, like obviously, like towards the middle of the season, it was like, why is he still being mocked in the first round? Because he's not really doing much. But yeah, there's a lot of different players out there. Like Oregon's got a couple of guys, Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson, guys to look out for. Elik Iamanor from Stanford is another guy. He popped off last year, but he wasn't draft eligible. He is this year, so he's going to be a guy to look out for as well. J. Michael Sturtevant, another speedy wide receiver from UCLA. That's another guy that probably could be their second day. That could be another good option for the Chiefs as well. There's so many really good options here. That's a little preview of our wide receiver.
By the way, McMillan's being compared to Mike Evans. By the way,
he's huge. He's 6'5". Yeah, yeah. He's 6'5".
That's his player comparison.
Yeah, that makes.
And
a lot
Luther
of sense.
Burden's is Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, so I looked at 30-13.
Makes a lot of sense because they're very similar as well.
And Isaiah Bond, also, believe it or not, is Xavier Worthy.
I've also seen Jeremy Maclin for Luther Burden as well, which makes sense.
Hope he's better.
I mean, I hope Mac he's better than Mac. Mac was very good, but I think Burton will be better than him. But yeah, this very good draft class. So we're going to start previewing that next week. We'll continue along with the coverage with training camp and keep you updated on how these young guys are doing. And then after that, we're going to start previewing these position groups for the 2024 NFL draft. Guys to watch out for. This 2025 NFL draft, guys to watch out for this fall during the 24 college football season. I don't know if you've been playing the NCAA 25, college football 25, but man, like a lot of fun. I think the college football playoff, the expanded college football playoff is going to be so great, and it's going to give us way more tape to watch on these guys.
The brand of college football games. Is just much, much different at this point. It's just, it's exploded last year. We're going to have, I think, the best year that we've seen.
I think so.
In the last, well, you could maybe make a case forever between Kansas State, Kansas, and Missouri.
Right.
With both Kansas and Kansas State getting first place votes in the Big 12 media days.
Yeah.
People love it. Missouri's got to make some damage this year with this schedule and every receiver coming back from Mizzou this year. Theo Weiss, another guy. Yeah. Watch for NFL mid round type guy.
Yeah. So a lot of good talent. So, like I said, next week we'll be back on it. We're gonna get you caught up on the latest goings on in the in Chiefs training camp. Then after that, we're going to start previewing these position groups, telling you who you need to watch out for, give you the teams, the team breakdowns, who you should be watching, where you should be watching them at, the position groups we think the Chiefs are going to need to watch out for. And also, you know, obviously we're going to preview this quarterback draft class because these quarterbacks are going to determine how that first round goes anyway.
Something we already did last year.
Yeah, we did last year.
I'm going back.
It was funny. It's like I think, what did we predict? It was going to be like
Quinn Ewers.
I think we thought it was going to be like 4-6,
yeah.
And there were six taken in the first round at quarterbacks.
And the wide receivers. I mean, we thought it was going to be a wide receiver and quarterback draft, and it was.
It was. So thanks for listening to us. Make sure you download, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts on. Give us a 5-star rating. We are back. We appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. For Bink, I'm Christian Ocero. We'll catch you guys next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Catch the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Catch the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.